In 3 minutes, we shall be crossing to Canada to hear the band of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police heralding Her Majesty the Queen. Her Majesty will speak to us from London, and this will mark the opening of COMPAC, one of the biggest telecommunication projects ever undertaken. COMPAC is the Commonwealth Pacific Cable, a cable which has been laid on the Pacific seabed for nearly 9,000 nautical miles, in some places almost 4 miles deep. Its opening today represents the completion of the second stage in the plan for around-the-world Commonwealth telephone cable, a plan which was made 5 years ago at the Commonwealth Trade and Economic Conference in Montreal. Stage one, the link between Britain and Canada, was completed in 1961. Stage two, which links Canada to Australia by way of Fiji and New Zealand, is to be inaugurated today. By 1966, the cable connection is expected to stretch from Australia via New Guinea and Malaysia out to Hong Kong. As from today's opening ceremony, there will be 80 two-way telephone channels between London and Sydney and all the intermediate points across the width of the Pacific. And it's expected that telephone conversations on this link will be as clear in quality and as easily connected as local trunkline calls. In fact, there are even plans which will allow you to dial direct from Sydney to London or to any of the intermediate points. The cable was invented by Dr. R.A. Brockbank of the British Post Office Research Establishment in London. It's light in weight, it's sheathed in polythene, and it won't kink or tangle. And as an example of the way it can be used in broadcasting, a forthcoming London Forum program on Sunday, December the 15th, will be broadcast by the BBC General Overseas Service, a program in which speakers in 5 Commonwealth countries, Britain, Canada, India, New Zealand, and Nigeria, will be linked by cable and by radio. Today, we're to have a foretaste of this sort of broadcast in the inauguration ceremony for COMPAC, a direct broadcast in which you will hear Her Majesty the Queen, the Prime Ministers of Australia, Britain, Canada, and New Zealand, and other officers of state. And tonight, there will be a further broadcast from London to Australia along the cable, starring Australian popular singers Frank Ifield and Patsy Ann Noble. And now, for the first part of this ceremony, we take you from Australia to Canada.
History of communications. And whilst I am speaking, my Prime Ministers of Australia, Britain, Canada, and New Zealand or attending ceremonies to mark the occasion. My voice is being carried through the cable and heard instantly in those four Commonwealth countries. Today, a new link has been forged between the peoples of the northern and southern hemispheres. There are three things I would like to say. First, I congratulate all those whose imagination and skill have brought this enterprise to completion. We are all in their debt. Secondly, this Pacific cable is more than a communication link. It is a practical expression of the faith of the Commonwealth in its own future. It is an example of what can be accomplished within our family of nations when we enter into a common venture as partners and apply to it all the skill and resources at our disposal. And lastly, I send my very best wishes to all who are listening. It gives me great pleasure to declare the Pacific cable open.
Prime Ministers, Ministers, Your Excellencies, my Lords, Ladies and Gentlemen, this is Reginald Bevins, Postmaster General of Britain, speaking to you from London. I have the honour this evening to be in the chair for the next part of this historic ceremony, in which speakers in the Fleet Building, London, the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa, and the town halls in Sydney and Wellington will take part, and which will be heard not only by the audiences in these buildings, but also by much larger public audiences throughout Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and also Fiji. We are to be privileged this evening to hear the Prime Ministers of Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand speaking to us individually, then in a general conversation with each other. It is now my privilege to ask the Prime Minister of Britain, Sir Alec Douglas-Hume, kindly to open this part of our proceedings.
Postmaster General, the words which I now speak are carried over the longest submarine cable in the world and the first telephone cable to be laid across the Pacific. And I'm particularly glad to be at this ceremony this evening because I was present at the Montreal Economic Conference of the Commonwealth at which this idea was launched. And this is therefore an entirely Commonwealth enterprise, and we can all be proud of our contributions to it. At one moment of time, four Commonwealth prime ministers, each in his own country, have been able to listen to the words which have been spoken by Her Majesty the Queen and to talk together at one ceremony. 2 years ago, this would have been possible only between Britain and Canada. Now, we are joined by New Zealand and by Australia, and as the Commonwealth Secretary has said, Fiji, an important staging post of this new cable, is with us too this evening. Here in London, I'm talking to you from Fleet Building, one of the great centres of telecommunications in Britain, and we have here a most distinguished company. We've heard the Commonwealth Secretary and the Postmaster General. We have here the High Commissioners, the Agents General, representatives from Parliament and from industry and commerce and the press. And we're very glad to have too, each of us in our own center, people who have worked together on the planning, on the design, and on the manufacture, and on the laying of the cable. For a Commonwealth spread over and round the world, good communications are essential. And this cable provides certainty of speech and clarity of speech over a longer distance than ever before. so let us all turn it to good account. I am sending greetings and good wishes from all of us here in London to you in the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa and in the town halls in Wellington and in Sydney. You have our very good wishes from this ceremony here in London. I now am going to take our meeting in London here over to the Prime Minister of Canada, Mr. Pearson.
Prime Ministers, Ministers, Your Excellencies, and ladies and gentlemen, the people of Canada and their government wish me on this historic occasion to extend to you and to the peoples of the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand, Canada's most cordial greetings. This new link between us, which our Queen has a few moments ago graciously declared open to service, is another monument to technology's dramatic mastery of distance. Among peoples of the Commonwealth, this material link is symbolic of the strong, intangible ties that bind us together, the ties of our common heritage of democratic freedom and the rule of law. I would like to send Canada's thanks and appreciation tonight to all who worked in bringing this great cable system to realization. We are proud of Canada's part in its construction, and we are glad to share in its dedication to the service of all who will use it, in the hope that closer communication between the users, and indeed between all men, will bring them closer to the mutual respect and to the understanding and friendship that comes from such respect. So in this historic linking of voices, Canada joins her mother country and sister nations in the Commonwealth, and extending to all the other peoples of the Commonwealth and of the world warm good wishes for happiness and progress and prosperity. We remember particularly our friendly neighbor of the United States, so recently deeply distressed by the tragic loss of President Kennedy, and we assure them that they and President Johnson are in the hearts and prayers of the Commonwealth. Christmas will soon be here. And may we all, by close and creative communication together, achieve the grace which Christmas intended. Peace on earth and goodwill among all men. This is Prime Minister Pearson speaking in Ottawa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great thrill for us to be taking part in this ceremony. We're here in the Sydney Town Hall, which is, I assure you, quite full of an audience which appreciates the historic significance and great practical utility of what has been opened this morning. And in the first place, we would like you in Great Britain to convey with our humble duty our thanks to Her Majesty for having declared the cable open. This was a splendid reminder of the fact that the four countries immediately concerned in this enterprise are countries of the Commonwealth and inside the Commonwealth countries which stand within the direct allegiance to the Crown. This is something of which we're proud. We're delighted to feel that with this marvelous development in communication, we will be closer one to another. Indeed, as I listened to my two predecessors in this conversation, or in this opening, I began to wonder whether perhaps we could save the cost of Prime Minister's conferences in future by having them on the telephone. That's not a matter that I desire to press unduly, but at the same time, it's no doubt something that may produce some results, because I'm sure that with this facility of communication, its great clarity, we will all find, won't we, that we can be in touch with each other more quickly and talk to each other with more certainty and directness, and perhaps save a good deal of paper communication. Anyhow, I send my greetings to all of you, and as I go off, I have pleasure in introducing and calling upon the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
This is Keith Holyoake, sending greetings as Prime Minister of New Zealand to my fellow Prime Ministers and to all sharing in this great ceremony throughout the Commonwealth and indeed throughout the world. Though I am the last of the four Prime Ministers to speak, I remind you that I'm speaking from the first country in the world. I was very interested in what my friend Robert Menzies had to say about the possible new shape of future Commonwealth Prime Ministers' conferences. And if I could build upon that, if we can follow out his suggestion, I think I could issue an invitation now that the first such conference can be held in New Zealand. Or at least we'll organize it from New Zealand. I'd like to be first in that, Robert, and thank you for the suggestion. I'm confident that the future will see a very satisfying development of our unique Commonwealth Association, which has brought this project to its realization today. And with the other Prime Ministers, I offer my warmest congratulations to everybody concerned in providing this great new service. And my best wishes to all those who will use it in the future. So, speaking for New Zealand, this is Keith Holyoake saying, Kia ora, and goodbye.
Well, thank you, Prime Ministers. The Prime Ministers will now have a general discussion in which they can speak and be heard, I trust, by the others. Members here in London can listen on watch receivers, which I think are affixed to your chairs. For this conference call, I want to invite our Prime Minister both to preside and, if he will be so good, to open the bowling as well.
Hello? Is that you, Mike?
It's me, Alec.
Can you hear well?
Very well.
I didn't think we should be talking so soon after I left you the other day.
No.
I can hear you as though you're in the room.
Yes, it's very clear, and so were the voices of our colleagues in Australia and New Zealand. I felt, Alec, they sounded awfully cheerful. They've just come through a successful election.
I know, and also they've just woken up. They're just going to bed.
Yeah. Well, I just come from a long speech in the House of Commons, so I don't feel the same way at all.
Yes. Well, I better go over and see what the other two are hearing.
Fine.
Good. Hello.
Hello.
Bob.
Hello, Alex.
Bob, it's you.
Yes.
Sure. What are you doing? You playing cricket?
No, I'm sitting in the town hall in Sydney, blinded with light, and looking at a most dubious collection of people in the hall. You know what I mean?
You're in much the same position as me. That's what it sounds like.
Anyhow, Alex, let's be clear about this, old boy. This is the first time in record when one thistle has spoken to another.
Well, that's good. Well, both pretty prickly customers.
I must refer this to the farm products division of our scientific body.
What time is it, as a matter of interest, now, with you in the morning?
9:17.
And 11:15 in New Zealand, Alec.
And
right.
6 o'clock in Ottawa, and the snow is shining on the trees.
It's later. I say, Mike.
Yep.
How's your throat? I don't mean your political throat.
Being cut practically every day.
But the other one, you know, your real throat. You feel it?
Well, it's it. Yes. I've been speaking for an hour and a half. You know what that is.
Oh, I do indeed. I do indeed, but the audience, as a rule, suffers more than I do.
say, Keith Holyoake breaking in. You won't mind me breaking in on you two Scotsmen trying to get a long conversation for no payment at all on this line, will you?
Now, let's hear what you sound like 12,000 miles away. Keith, you there?
Hello.
Yes, Alec. Yes,
Keith?
Alec. Keith speaking, Alec.
Yes. You're hearing well. This is a great invention, isn't it?
Yes, I'm surprised that Lester Pearson detected a note of elation in my voice this morning. I was trying to keep it completely out and be completely uninhibited and unmoved at all.
You're probably feeling so happy you'll pay for this call.
Now there are limits to all things, Mike.
I might have that, Mike. We're just paying our share. We'll call on you. What time in Canada is this? Is it Sunday or Monday?
6:20 p.m.
Oh, it's Monday, though, isn't it?
Monday, that's right.
Yeah. I do want to ram home that point that New Zealand is the first country in the world, you know.
We yield you primacy in time.
Now then, Keith?
Yes, Alex?
You're still there. They were interrupting the other two so much. I haven't been able to talk to you yet. How are you?
Absolutely wonderful, Alec.
You've been talking continuously for weeks now, haven't you?
Millions, did you say?
You've been talking continuously for weeks, yes.
Well, yes, continuously, you're quite right. We're developing an entirely new throat now.
As a matter of fact, if I may butt in New Zealand, Alec, they have a deplorable habit of speaking for 2 hours at a time. 2 hours at a time. What a docile people they must be.
been reduced by regulation to an hour and a half on this case, Bob.
Oh.
Alec.
Yeah?
When are you going to start your electoral talking?
I'm not giving that date away now. I haven't got that diary on me, otherwise I'd look it up and tell you. Well, now, Bob, you pinched my cue. You know, the cue that I had for the end of this conference between us was that I was going to say we'd carry on a Prime Minister's conference by phone. I've got to think of something else now.
Oh. Well, been looking at the clock and I'm lost. We seem to have run over time. But that's not uncommon in political circles. Anyhow, are you feeling all right, Alex?
I'm pretty well.
That's good.
Very hot.
That's good. Good old Kinross up in my part of the country. Yes.
Well, I think we now much better say goodbye to each other. I see the clock running on. I'll begin by saying goodbye to you, Bob.
Goodbye, Alex, and good luck to you.
Very nice to talk to you.
Keith Hillier, goodbye, Alex, Mike.
Keith,
night,
goodbye.
Bob.
Good night.
Goodbye, Bill.
Good luck, Alec. Good luck to us all.
Good luck, Mike.
Mrs. Prime Ministers, Mrs. Ministers, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this is Canada. You are now about to hear a short musical interlude by the band of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which will play some tunes typical of Australia, Britain, New Zealand, and Canada.